Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks from Wall Street Reporter, and today I'm speaking with the management of Boxlight Corporation. Stock symbol is BOXL on NASDAQ, and on the phone with me are Mark Elliott, the CEO, Michael Pope, the president of Boxlight. So, gentlemen, welcome.
Welcome. It's good to talk with you, Jack.
Yes. So, why don't you begin and kind of tell us, what does Boxlight do?
Well, Boxlight, we're a company that specializes in providing technology to the global education K-12 market. We provide technology and solutions that allow teachers to be able to present in front of the whole class. We allow them to assess and see how they're doing as they go. We allow them to break up into small groups and do collaboration. And we also specialize in technology and solutions that allow them to address some key areas in education markets today, like the world of STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. So our approach is to be a one-stop shop with all the solutions that make sense for a very risk-averse market, but the schools that are looking to utilize technology to enhance academic achievement.
I had a brief look, at your website to kind of see what you do, before we started the interview, and it's been quite a number of years since I was in a classroom. I think, in my day, we just, sat on a, in a dirt floor, with rocks, but it looks like you have like these, really high tech. I'm not even sure how to describe it. Like the it's you have these high tech. I don't know if they're whiteboards or digital boards, and this it's some incredible stuff. Can you explain? Like, can you kind of talk about some of the products that you sell into the classrooms, and how those are used?
Absolutely, and we, you know, the discussion you had there, I tell people our approach is to be able to change the classroom, change the world, and by providing solutions that allow students to learn the way that they're learning today. And we've got an expression: if I'm not learning the way you teach, maybe you should teach the way I learn. And so, I began my career. A lot of the time I spent in the education market was initially with Apple, and Apple certainly did incredible things from that standpoint. But then moving to another company that manufactured interactive whiteboards, or you may know them as smart boards, that was the technology that we saw that could really bridge the gap, because you referenced, when you were in school, and when I was in school with George Washington, back then, there wasn't as much there wasn't technology at all. The classroom in 2005 was not that much different than it was in 1700s and 1800s. I tell people there was more technology in a police car in 2004 than there was in a classroom. And the interactive whiteboard was what we saw as the bridge that allowed you to bring the world into the classroom and still allow the teacher to be able to control the classroom and make them relevant. And so that was the thing that that really started the whole technology growth, in my opinion, in the education space, to where now it's just growing tremendously. And matter of fact, it may have grown too much to in some extent, and that the teachers are could be overwhelmed with the technology. And so our approach is to look at the world through the eyes of the teacher and say, what is the technology and how can we make it easier for them to use? Very much along the lines of what Apple's done in their past. And so our technology consists of everything from interactive whiteboards to interactive TVs, interactive flat panels. And by interactive, these are things that anything that the teacher can do on their laptop, they can now do from the front of the room. They can be engaged, they can be talking with the students, they can be bringing the world again into the classroom to make education exciting and fun. And the results that we've seen is that the teachers, the dropout rate has gone down, the teacher retention has improved, and the learning and academic achievement is going. And it's not just for countries in the United States and around the world, that are modern economies, but every country anywhere around the world. with the type solutions that we provide.
Okay.
So we have solutions that can go down in a very low cost manner, and then all the way up to, you know, very large interactive TVs and flat panels.
Yeah. So
that's a good overview, Mark. I was just going to add, you know, in addition to the displays, which, you know, by the way, the displays are touch capable, like you would use a tablet or an iPad or something like that, where you could go up and use your finger or a stylus, right, to write digitally or to, you know, move images around, that kind of thing. But in addition to the displays, we also have a lot of accessories that surround those displays, everything from document cameras to audio systems to student response devices, the STEM devices. And then we also offer a suite of services, including professional development and trainings. And then also we have software, which allows the teacher to control the classroom. The software allows for creating and sharing a lesson plan. It allows for interactivity between the teacher and the students, or between the students. It allows for assessment, where the teacher can create quizzes or tests and push them out to the students and get real-time feedback of how the students are understanding the concepts. And so it really is a total solution between hardware and software and services, where a school district can engage with us and we can provide that what they need.
Yeah. So, I mean, looking at your site, I mean, some of the images that you have there, it kind of looks, the classroom almost looks like it's like a totally immersive, almost, entertainment experience, like you're in an iPad, if you will. So how much... What are the benefits? I mean, what kind of benefits have your customers? I'm assuming you're selling to schools. Like, how much of a difference does it make in what's the end result? In other words, do you have grades gone up, or what's the metrics that you could talk about?
Well, the best study that was done was by a gentleman named Dr. Robert Marzano, where he did. Two-year evaluation of about 100 classrooms, and he evaluated with the type technology we provide, which is interactive whiteboards and interactive touch screens, and also the assessment devices. And he compared that to classes with the same teachers and the same student profile there. And the results were that you would see a 17 percentile improvement in the technology, by using the technology. So that's a huge improvement right there. And it's just intuitive. You know, the first time I saw this type of technology, I'm going like, my God, it would have been so incredible to have had this when I was back in school, because anything you can do, you can learn, you know, visually, you've got kinesthetic capability, you've got the auditory, you've got the world, again, that you can bring into the classroom. And so academic achievement is going up, and teachers that are using this, they will tell you there's no way they would go back to the old days of just lecturing and books. It just makes it, like you said, it is entertaining, and it makes them exciting. The number one reason that children drop out across the world when they're interviewed is because of boredom.
Right, I was going to say that.
So
right.
That's what we're not.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely,
yeah,
I mean, the class, I mean, this is definitely, if I was, you know, 10 years old or whatever, 15, yeah, that's, you know, that environment is something that would appeal to me more than just, you know, a blackboard. So you have the hardware. Now, in terms of, how does the software part work? Does it tie in with the curriculum, with the school books? I mean, how does all that work? What do you sell there?
Well, the software is probably the key ingredient we provide right there, because if you look at a class from the eyes of a teacher right there, they have to provide lessons every day. And so our software allows them to develop lessons, and they can go to any place, anywhere, you know, to the internet, bring in content, bring in audio, visual, and whatever. So we need to help them to create it, and then we help them to present it, so they can be presented in the classroom. They can turn it over to the students. They can come back. They can control what's being presented there. And then we have to do it in a secure environment so that they're not interfered with from outside or anything like that. So being able to present the lessons, develop them, and then prepare them in a secure environment, and to be able to assess to see how are we doing as we go, as opposed to waiting until 6 weeks have gone by to get the results that they've got. So that's what our software does. And then what we do even better is that we allow teachers to develop their lessons in environments like PowerPoint, but also in environments that some of the big players in the market, Promethean and Smart, have done. And because we've been in this and we have such excellent software developers there, we've been able to develop programs that allow us to run all of these resources from our competitors natively at the object level. So they don't throw away all of their work as they move through different generations of technology. They're able to be able to take advantage of all the work they've done and then run it on our solution.
So
that's the software, and that's why it's so critical.
Okay, and I was going to say, so you sell to who? You sell to school districts? Like, who's the actual customer?
We sell through channel partners. We consider them a very viable part of what we do because so much of the solutions that we provide, you can imagine, you know, big TVs and things like that need to be installed locally. And so the local care and expertise and that sort of thing, we sell to schools, school districts, private schools, pre-K, and that's the market that we go after.
Okay. And so it looks like you reported about $25 million plus in revenues for, you know, first 9 months of 2018. What were some of the, you know, best-selling products, and what are some of the areas of growth in your product line?
Well, one of the big things that we really are able to deal with, Jack, is that the replacement market there for interactive whiteboards, they really started selling in the UK back in the early 2000s, and they came over to the United States in 2005, and there's roughly 9 to 10 million interactive whiteboards around the world there. And those technologies are getting older. They're projector-based, and they had a different type technology that allowed you to work in off of the board that you installed right there. So the replacement market is happening now, and it's happening very rapidly. And we've got a lot of school districts that we worked with, our team and our channel partners over the years, like Atlanta Public Schools, that implemented interactive whiteboards across a district of about 4,000 students, and now they're seeing that the technology needs to be upgraded. So they're upgrading a lot of them to interactive flat panels from interactive whiteboards, and that's happening everywhere. And so we're winning bids, and that's another huge advantage that I think we can talk with our investors about, is that we're winning bids in the public arena. These aren't bids that can be based on relationships. These are bids that have a lot of scrutiny and that people look at, and they have to prove that it's the best value. And so we've been winning opportunities from small districts like McMinnville in Tennessee, McMinn County, to places like Atlanta Public School or Clayton County in Georgia, which is a 55,000 student, 3,200 classroom opportunity, and with solutions that are going to be anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 per classroom. So that's what we've been doing, and the replacement market is fueling that, and they're going with our integrated solutions as well. So they're not just buying an interactive flat panel, but they're buying our voting devices, our document cameras, and peripherals that we have. So that's been fueling a lot of the growth is the replacement market. And then we're also doing a very good job in areas such as STEM and also in special needs with the type solution we provide.
Okay. How big is the, you know, current market for let's call it classroom technology, in the U.S. or worldwide for these types of solutions?
Michael, do you want to address that one?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that we follow pretty closely, both in aggregate as well as various categories of products. And if you look at ed tech globally, education technology, and that's a several hundred billion dollar market globally. It's growing very rapidly. Most reports we look at show that growth at about 20% compounded annually. And that's going to grow very rapidly over the next, you know, 5, 6, 7 years to $1 trillion. Now, do we plan all of that? Well, not all of that, right? So some of that's going to be some products that are outside of kind of what we're working on. But I would say, you know, a quarter of that to half of that potentially, you know, is our addressable market. That's going to include, you know, interactive displays. It's going to include all the accessories in the classroom. It's going to include, you know, handheld devices for students. It's going to include all the software. And content is a big piece of that. So the market we play in is very, very big. You know, we're, of course, a very small piece of that. You know, hence there's a big opportunity. But we don't want to overstate the fact that it's growing so rapidly. A lot of our growth, and we can talk a little bit more about, you know, our rapid growth and our projected rapid growth, but a lot of that is just the fact that we're in an industry that's growing very, very quickly. Now, we're growing a little bit faster than industry, and that's because we're able to take a little bit of market share from our competitors as well.
Okay.
But there's not many industries out there, you know, like education technology right now.
And who else are you competing with, you know, in this area? You know, what's the competitive landscape like?
The biggest competitors would be Smart Technologies, and then Promethean would be the two primary competitors that we've had historically.
Okay.
And they're the biggest two we compete with.
Okay. And can you, you know, give us a quick snapshot of, you know, how the company has evolved through, you know, M&A over the past few years and, you know, what the strategy is going forward? You know, like what kind of companies maybe you're looking to acquire, like, you know, acquisition criteria, et cetera.
Yeah, so on the M&A front, I think to understand what the potential is going forward, it's important to understand where we've been and kind of what we've done historically. And so let me talk just a little bit about that. So we came together via three acquisitions that we made in 2016. And then in 2017, we went public and listed on NASDAQ. And then last year, in 2018, we acquired three more companies. The initial acquisitions really brought together our core technologies of the hardware and the software pieces that we sell today. You know, Mark talked about how important software is. It really, that's the glue that holds everything together, and that's really what improves largely the education in the classroom and student outcomes, et cetera. But those two companies were a company called Mimio and a company called Boxlight. Today, of course, our company, we're named Boxlight. We took that name. And then the Mimio name is the name that we use for our K-12 education suite. That's the brand that we use. You know, since then, so in 2018, the acquisitions that we closed, there were three of them. We bought a company called Cohuba, which is out of the UK. We bought a company by the name of Quizdom. And we bought a third company by the name of EOS Education. And maybe just talking through those briefly. So Cohuba was an acquisition of a team in the UK, operational and sales team, which really has allowed us to start to sell a lot more in that region in the UK and more broadly in Europe. If you look at 2018 or prior, we did very little business outside of the US and very little in Europe. However, now post that acquisition in 2019 and beyond, we expect to do a significant amount of business in that region. The second acquisition, Quizdom, was an acquisition of a team of developers and a software group that focused on education. And that's really allowed us to continue to shore up our software strategy, continue to maintain our software, improve our software. And also we have some additional software products that we're now selling. And software is a focus of ours, and that's our competitive edge. Software is high margin, you know, it's high touch. And so that's going to allow us to continue to be competitive on the software front. And then the third acquisition was EOS Education. EOS was a training and professional development company that focused on education. And that's another main focus for us as well. Professional development and training is high margin also. It's very sticky and allows us to go into school districts where we already are selling and we have relationships and be able to offer additional solutions to those school districts. And so going forward, you know, we're continuing to focus on similar types of opportunities, whether it's broadened distribution like we did in the UK and throughout Europe. There's other parts of the world that we're focusing on, and potentially we could acquire companies that would allow us to be able to expedite our push into some of those territories. Or otherwise, we're looking at other technology opportunities. whether it's additional software or hardware companies. You'll see that just this year we launched new products. A robotics product is an example. We also launched a product we called the Mimio MicroCloud, and we could get into that if you'd like. But
sure.
Those are examples of solutions that we're looking to bring to market. And some of those could be us going and locking up distribution opportunities. Ideally, they would be exclusive distribution opportunities where we're branding under our own brand and pushing out the solutions. But otherwise, you know, we're looking at maybe acquiring some of those technologies and allowing those to come into our fold that way. So I think the expectation, if you're looking out into the future, you know, we showed we bought three companies last year. We expect to not slow down. If you're looking at 2019, we plan on doing something similar or something beyond that for 19 and in the, you know, the near future.
Okay.
And Zach, I'd like to add to that is we don't have a shortage of companies that are coming to us because there's a lot of companies that have great technology. What they want is global distribution and the sales and marketing and expertise that we bring. So we've got a whole lot of companies coming to us regularly saying we'd like to come to you and see if we can't add to your offering right there to be the one-stop shop for the education space. So we will continue to be doing that aggressively.
Okay. And what's your vision for the company 3 years out? You know, what will Boxlight look like once you have some more acquisitions in place? Like what's going to be the company like, and what kind of revenues do you expect to be generating?
Well, I can tell you just from past history, I went to Promethean from Apple, and we grew Promethean from 5 million in the Americas. I was the president of that group right there to 250 million in 5 years. And I think we have similar capabilities that we can do here. We've got some advantages today that we didn't have then. In 2005, we had to create the market and make people aware of what could be done with interactive whiteboards and technology. Now we've got the replacement market, and now we have a world of excitement in the classrooms. And so they're very much looking to continue to grow that and enhance that. So I think we've got tremendous upside potential, and I would see that there's no reason we couldn't replicate or enhance the growth that we realized with Promethean and beyond within the next 3 years.
Absolutely. I'd agree with that. And Jack, just looking at where we've been, you know, in 2017, we did, well, actually 2016, we saw that 2016, we did 20 million in sales. 2017, we did 26 million in sales. So that's about a 30% increase. And then in 2018, you know, we did 25 million through Q3. We haven't yet announced Q4 and the full year of 2018. That's going to happen next month. However, we provided guidance that we expected Q4 to be north of 11 million, which would be our strongest quarter ever as far as sales. And so if you just take the 25 plus another 11, you know, that puts you, you know, at a 40+% growth for 2018, right? So, you know, we're on a pretty quick, rapid growth path organically, you know, largely organically already. So, you know, if you start to extend that out and then add some significant acquisitions, there's no reason we couldn't be a much, much bigger company. And I would tell you that, you know, Mark on the phone and myself and the rest of our management team, we have our sights not set on a 30, 40, 50 million a year company. You know, we want to be in the hundreds of millions or higher. That's where our goal is set.
Okay. So for 2018, you'll probably do around 36 million in total sales, roughly?
So we're north of there. Yeah.
Okay.
We said we'll be north of 11 million. That's right. So you know, you know, if you assume that, you should be happy once we report.
Okay. And at what point will you become, you know, cash flow positive?
Yes. Yeah, so we provided some guidance on that as well, that we expect that to happen this year in 2019. You know, we're expecting 2019 to have a small uptick in operating costs. So you're not going to have much of a change there. And our revenues are going to grow to a point where we're going to be cash flow positive, and we're going to be profitable on an adjusted EBITDA basis, right? So if you take EBITDA minus stock-based compensation and related, that number is going to be positive. So this will be a turning point for us. You know, this year is going to be a major turning point. Go ahead, Mark.
And our pipeline has been growing dramatically across the board with the replacement market, with school districts. We've been successful in winning bids in San Diego. There was a statewide bid that came out in Iowa and in Colorado and in Michigan. We were selected for those bids there. We've got a lot of existing customers that are continuing to grow with what they're doing. So we're very optimistic about, you know, where the growth is going to be coming from. And that's just the organic side. And then we add in other solutions and get these other companies we brought on board tied into our message. And with the reference base that we have, our approach within Boxlight is to let our customers do the selling for us. And so if you listen to some of the podcasts that are out there from places like Huntington Beach or Clayton County or Atlanta Public Schools or Beaufort County, you know, this is a risk-averse market. They want, the customers want to know who's done this and why and what are they realizing, and we're delivering. We're delivering incredible results there. I've been to the school districts. I was down in Beaufort County just 2 weeks ago, and, you know, we were exceeding all of their expectations, and they told us that, and the way it's being trained and adopted and the other solutions we have, they're just complemented. So our whole message and our solution value proposition is real, and our customers are telling the story for us.
Is there,
and that's a key element.
Okay, is there any recurring revenue element in the sales model? Like, is the software a license, or what? Are there any, you know, recurring revenues coming in?
Well, we do have recurring revenues. We've got software. Some of it we provide with our with the hardware that we provide that we sell. But then there are others that are complementary that they can upgrade and add to. And we're certainly looking at that. Quizdom, that's all they do, is they sell software, and they have either annual subscriptions or different type models that they can buy there. And we certainly understand the advantages of recurring revenue right there. So we're looking at everything that we can do to enhance that, from content providers that are approaching us to be able to provide those type things, to additional software components that are there. And then maintenance that we could be doing. And then, you know, the services side is not recurring, but once we get in and are doing the training and the work that we can do there, then it's certainly easier to be able to see that more predictably into the future.
You know, it's kind of interesting. Thinking about, you know, I asked you about the recurring revenue, but, you know, because this is such a the technology is just so to me it just looks like, you know, when I look at your products, or, you know, to me it looks like a an iPhone or an iPad. So it's not I assume that these, you know, the life cycle is probably going to be, I mean, I don't know what the customers expect, but I assume it'll be kind of outdated after maybe 7 years. It'll look you know, old, like one of those a green CRT computer screens that you had at Apple back in the 80s, you know? It's not like the chalkboards, which, you know, have a 30-year, you know, life cycle.
Well, the interactive whiteboard had a longer life cycle. It was about an 8-year, and that was typically because they had projectors that went with them, and the projector life was about 3 to 4 years. And so schools would have the initial one, and then they would replace it 3 to 4 years in, and then after that they would go, we're not doing that. And the biggest reason was is because the bulbs, and the fact that the bulbs degrade over time, and, you know, the lighting and things like that, they're not as bright. With the interactive flat panels there, we've got a lot of advantages of that. One, they're built off of companies like Samsung and LG, and so they have tremendous capacity to build, but they also are always looking to enhance the capabilities. So, you know, if you look today, you know, the flat panels that you're buying now are going to be 4K and things like that. And, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, that wasn't the reality. So there are going to be enhancements made by these huge companies there that are going to be cost justified in the schools. So yeah, I think we'll see a shorter life cycle now on the products there, but it's going to be cost justified because of the features and capabilities that are always going to be coming, and the fact that that classroom that you and I were into and we referenced to that back when we were in school is not the school. The schools are demanding and expecting more and more all the time. Okay. And we're at the forefront of that, and we're a company that's best suited to be able to bring that type technology into every classroom anywhere in the world.
Okay.
Most of our displays, most of our displays, we're looking at 5 to 7 years. And even though a lot of that's not, recurring necessarily, right? It's a one-time sale. Now, I think it's important to understand, in the education system, if a school district buys our hardware and our software and standardizes on our solution, then we're really in the driver's seat next time, that they need to replace that technology for a new technology, right? We're then the driver's seat. We have a relationship. And, we expect that customer, that school district, to be our customer for life. That's expectation. So,
and the peripherals that we provide, the accessories there, are another big advantage for us. So we're not just a one-trick pony. We can come in and we can get into the school in a variety of ways. It could be even something like a document camera or voting devices that get us in there. But then we can grow that. So, but a typical example would be like Clayton County, to where they went in with all our peripherals, but then they're looking at newer technology and different areas like special needs and STEM. So we're not just totally dependent on a one flat panel type solution or projector type. We have multiple solutions that can fit a variety of needs. And we have solutions even in big school districts that we have the capability to go in and provide flat panels as an example, but then we've got some schools that have a large portable mobile trailer type classroom because of growth. Well, we have different type technologies that are lower cost that can fit into those, but still run within our software environment. So we've got a lot of capabilities to spread the risk for us and not just be dependent on, the life cycle of the product.
Okay.
But there's a whole lot of schools that are out there that are still growing and that are needing and adding technology.
Now, what other products do you have in the pipeline? You mentioned you have some robotics, some STEM type products. What's some of the exciting stuff that you have coming out?
Well, we've got some exciting solutions in network device management, which allows the schools to be able to monitor and push out software and things like that. That's a very cost justified, and it is software that would have an annual renewal type arrangement right there. We've got an audio system that's going to be coming out that ties into all of this that we've announced already that allows you to have the microphones. And there's a lot of states around the country now and then around the world that are realizing the advantages of having better sound in the classrooms. And so we've got those coming. The robotics we talked about there, we've also got, because we are global, there's a lot of countries around the world and places that don't have strong internet connections. So we've just recently announced the Mimio MicroCloud, which allows you to load all of your content and information from places like Khan Academy or anything that they want in a local server that they can then run at LAN speed, so they're not dependent on the internet. So that opens up the world to us with our interactive solutions. And then we've got a table that is tied in with some new software that we've developed that allows for you to develop very quickly solutions for the K-3 market and for special needs. And Michael, what else? Anything else that I'm missing?
No, I think that covered it. The only other thing is, we have some new software updates that we're providing as well that are improving the software suite that we provide. But no, that's a good overview of what we announced. Most of those products were all just announced, last month or in the last 2 months.
Okay, so let's recap. What are the key milestones over the next 12 months that investors can look forward to? Like, what kind of news flow can we expect?
I think this year we're going to see the revenue growth continue in similar ranges that we've had in the past right there. You're going to see our expenses stay close to where they are because we've done a lot to build our infrastructure, our ERP systems, and our support capabilities that are there. And so we're going to be profitable. You know, that's our biggest goal this year is to get and prove that we can run this, and we all realize the advantages of being profitable as a company. And so that's one of the key things and milestones we've got for this year is continued growth, taking advantage of all of the solutions and the success that we've had there, and then to do it profitably.
Okay, so my
I agree with that.
Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I was going to add maybe a couple of things. Yeah, a couple of different things that I think that are important to note. And one is, you know, we're going to see our gross profit margin uptick. You know, we had a little bit of pressure on that in 2018, and that's going to be a result of us diversifying our product line a little bit more. You know, you heard about some of these new solutions that we've launched on the software and hardware side as well as services. And the nice thing about the new solutions is they're all much higher margin. And so that's going to weigh up on the margin. I think another thing that's important to note is, historically, most of our sales have been in the U.S., and we're starting to become a lot more of a global company. So you're going to see additional sales coming from other territories outside of the U.S., including Latin America and throughout Europe. And we're excited about the opportunities there.
Okay. So, you know, in your opinion, what are the, you know, key reasons why investors should consider the stock today? Who wants to go first?
Couple thoughts there, Mark. I'll address. I'll jump in, and then Mark, you can fill in, you know, some gaps if you'd like. But you know, I think the first thing is if you look where we're priced today, you know, we're about a $3 stock price. I think is where we closed today, with 10 million shares outstanding, that puts us at a market cap of about 30 million, which is less than 1x revenue. So I think, you know, I think that if you look at our stock today, we believe we're a bargain. You know, if we look at our peer companies, we think we ought to be in a 2-3x revenue. Position. And so we're at a fraction of that. So I think that's point number one. Point number two is we've shown revenue growth the last couple of years, and it's not slowing down. And so if you believe that we can continue to execute like we have, I think that's another reason, right? Is because that's going to create, you know, additional fundamentals that makes sense that the stock price ought to follow, you know, in the future. And then I would add that you should look at our management team. You know, we have guys like Mark Elliott and others within our company. They came from Apple, it came from Prometheus, you know, McGraw-Hill, or, you know, a lot of companies in this space. They've been here before, you know, they did it before. And if you believe that that team can do it again, that's another reason. You know, we sure do. That's why we're here. And then I think if you look, you know, along the lines of the revenue growth, if you look at our reference sites, you know, those are public, we've announced those, but we've won some of the largest school districts in the country with our solutions. You heard about Clayton County in Georgia, or Buford County in South Carolina, or Atlanta Public Schools and others. These are major, major school districts that decided to standardize on our products, and we've won a lot of them more recently. And in the education community, it's well noted. You know, maybe not so much in the investment community, but if you start looking a little closer, you're going to see there's a reason that these school districts are selecting us, and it really comes down to the fact that we have the best product suite out there. And so I think those are some good reasons.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. I mean, we do have a great management team. It's not, I mean, we brought a lot of the people over from Ethan and from other environments there and from Apple, and they're bought into this. You know, our lady that's in charge of marketing was the VP of marketing from Ethan. We could just go on. Our management team is second to none, and they all believe in what we're doing. But, where the rubber meets the road is, are the customers happy? And are they telling the story, and are they telling people that this is what they would do? And that is absolutely the case. And so we're well positioned there to be able to go into the early majority and late majority in the replacement market with people that say, who's doing this and why, and let them tell the story. And that's what's happening. And we're the safest solution that these schools can have because we protect their investment and their existing intellectual property, so they don't have to worry about the teachers getting upset because they got to start over and develop the work that they've done for the last 10 years in a new format. And then we make it easy because we integrate all of these solutions together. And then our channel partners, they love our message because they can go in and take advantage of the relationships they've had for years there, deliver a great product, and then also be able to add on accessories and peripherals moving forward. And they know that they can count on us to be the company that's bringing the next generation or the next great solutions there into the market, because we have the with the channel that the people go to be able to reach that market.
Excellent. Well, on that note, I want to thank you, gentlemen, and you know, we look forward to following the Boxlight story in the coming months.
Thank you so much, Jack, and we appreciate your time today.